Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Lawmakers who oppose abortion are attacking Planned Parenthood, which means affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. The right to control your body and get the health care everyone needs has been stolen. And now politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills that would block people from getting the sexual and reproductive care they need. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves health care. It's a human right. And that's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect your right to control your own body and against policies that interfere with decisions between patients and their doctors. Planned Parenthood needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, you can help reclaim your rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future. That's PlannedParenthood.org/future. Did you know that it's Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is highlighting some really cool AAIP-owned brands right now, like Cardin, Kaja, Emilia George, and Hey Meave. Plus, you can help support college access and student success when you donate online or round up in store to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store. From Mutical Buyer tries to figure out how I'm still single, even though you could come in my coffee and say, yum, 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 that's delicious creamer. Okay, my guest today. I'm so excited. Oh, boy. Okay, also, I guess I should say it's the Valentine's Day episode because it's coming out right before Valentine's Day. But who fucking cares about Valentine's Day? I've got a Tony-nominated actress who you know from NCIS New Orleans, Santa Clarita Diet, Search Party, and oh, my God, my favorite. Netflix is you. It's Shalita Green! Bobby, Bobby.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here.
I am so happy that you agreed to do this. I genuinely love you so fucking much. It was funny because I love you. You was one of my favorite shows and you showed up in it and Sashir had auditioned to play your part. And I looked at her and I said, I'm so sorry. She was cast so perfectly. Like, I know you lost it, but you were not born for this part. And she looked at me and she was like, oh, you're absolutely fucking right. You're so great. Like, not to just talk about Netflix as you, but, you do such a really great job of balancing this character that, like, you're not supposed to like. And then by the end of the fucking season, you're rooting for her. You're like, I need her to get out. Like, I need this. I need her to win. Like, it's a real testament to your acting. Like, you're really phenomenal.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks, man. That was really fun.
Yeah. God, if you're, like, not nominated for something for it, like, there's no justice in this world. Like, it's just really great.
Thanks, man. I'm going to take that to my pillow at night and be like, at least Nicole thinks that. Thank you.
I think so many people think it's so good.
Thanks.
So you said before we started recording that you were my first pole class.
I was in your first fucking pole class, man. Yeah,
that
man.
That is so wild to me. Yeah, I love
man.
It.
Yeah, man. I just was like, I was so happy for y'all. I was like, fuck yes. Like, get here and get into your body and your soul mm-hmm. and fucking, like, your mirror work. Like, we need it. Like, it's so mm-hmm. powerful. Like, if you're using it, it's, like, powerful.
Yeah. I like pulling. People are like, why do you like it? I'm like, well, one, I love a stripper. Two, I like to be able to see my body do things that it doesn't normally do.
Yeah, that's like hard. But if I can make it look easy, like that's a win for me because that means that that's my body. You know what I mean? Like no one can take that from me. That's mine. That's my magic.
Oh, I love it. And I was creeping on your Instagram and you're really great and like super strong. And like it's fun to watch your pull video. Is, but you're also dating an MMA fighter. MMA?
Yeah, MMA.
What a strong couple.
Yeah, that's a badass little bitch. Like, we're great. Like, I feel like I learned so much from my divorce, and like, she is my gift. Like, that's my gift. It's like, yeah, bitch, you gotta figure your shit out, and you can't like just like marry your way through. Yeah, like, you gotta fucking like figure that shit out and take responsibility for, you know, the lessons and, you know, take responsibility for your behavior and like why you think the way that you think. And then just fucking change it. That's it. Mm-hmm. Just fucking change it. And like, that's my gift.
That is really interesting. I went on a date with somebody and I said something that I didn't think was rude, but they were like, hey, that was kind of not nice. And I was like, whatever. And then I was like, oh God, not only was that interpreted as not nice, my response wasn't nice.
It was super insensitive.
Yes. And I was like, it wouldn't kill me to just take a step back and go, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Can we walk through why you thought that was unkind?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
And I feel like we lose patience so quickly, and it's not that hard to have a dialogue as to why somebody was upset about something, you know?
Yeah, but we do it to ourselves, though. That's it. Like, and so, like, taking responsibility for your relationship with you helps you so much. Like, okay, cool. Yeah, dick in this area, amazing in this area. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Just make the change, you know?
Yeah. And that's also like a wild thing where it's like, oh, so like I can never react like that again. It's like, well, do you want to be that person who reacts like that?
Yeah.
So yeah, just like, change it.
Yeah. What's your attachment to that? What's that helping? No.
Yeah. Let it go. That's something you can't really learn from therapy, because therapy's like, it's just me. And I'm telling my side. Yeah. And my side, I always come out just a little bit better.
Right. I've used the therapy like my cheat sheet. So I've been in therapy for like 12 years now. Mm-hmm. And so, and I've had like many manner of therapy. I've done the somatic, like EMDR brain spotting. Oh. I've done the talk therapy. I've done couples therapy. I went to a psychiatrist. I was like, yeah, no, like, I don't really love how this like went down. I don't, so I'm gonna like figure some other shit out. But like the therapist that I have now, she's amazing. And her thing is like, my job is just to help you learn how to be comfortable being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And so like most of the work, though, you're right, doesn't happen in that hour. Like most of the work is like my mindfulness and like being with myself. Like those moments like you just had, like where you're like, Let me run that back. So like that's the work, is like you gotta walk it.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I think if I ever get into like a relationship, I would like to do couples therapy immediately. Like the minute we're like, we're together, we commit to each other. It's like, great. Then we should talk about how we communicate and make it so it's nice. Because I know people fight, but like, just imagine less fighting. That's nice.
Yeah. It is nice. It really is nice. Yeah. I went from a relationship where I was like, yeah, it's normal. It's normal to fight all the time. And we're like working things out, like as, you know, every day that we fight every fucking day, to a relationship where it's like, we don't like fight. It's just like, we like, listen, because we're both some strong women. Mm-hmm. So, but we're also super sensitive in the same way. And so it's like, hey, like, this is a boundary. Like, I like, and you know my history because mm-hmm. we take responsibility for what the other person has told us. So we hold that history. So it's like, hey, you know, like, this is bringing up some shit and I know it's mine to work on, mm-hmm. but if you can find a way, you know, like, and then it's like, oh, okay, that's not that important to me. Or, oh, mm-hmm. well, here's why I reacted that way. And this is, and so it's like, it's a negotiation of like, it's just, this is how I need to be loved. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I need your understanding. And because we are in this relationship, like, that's the agreement, is that like, mm-hmm. I'm responsible for your story. Like, I'm just responsible for it.
I love that.
Yeah. And I think she loves hard.
It's so nice. It's so, I guess when I think of relationships, I think of like, when you see people out and about and they're like happy and tee-hee-hee and having a nice time, you're like, oh, what a treat. What is nice. But then it's like, oh, but it's actually work. And it's like, somebody will make you upset. And then you have to go, oh, that is a boundary that was crossed. And I'd love yeah. it if it didn't happen again. And it is just like letting people know. How else will they know if you don't tell them?
No. And you have to be vulnerable too, in yeah. that your story about the why isn't always right. So mm-hmm. like I had a moment where I like was not the most emotionally mature, and I'm listening to this Mel Robbins book, like How to Take Control of Your Life. And she, I just listened to this yesterday. She was like, instead of thinking like, what's wrong with me? Think about like, think what happened to me? Like, what happened to me? So we were on this like cross country drive. Now, me and this girl, we drive a lot. We drive through Mexico. We've driven like all of the south of border to border oh. United States. Like,
are you guys campers?
No. We just like, we like moved me from California to Houston. And then like, we did a trip, like moving her storage from Florida to Houston. Then we've traveled Mexico, like trying to find like the city for us. And we found like the two cities that we love. And we were like living there. And then like, you got to have a car in Mexico. We've been so many times that like, we were like, look, let's just bring the car. So we like drove down. So it's just like, and then like getting here to Denver, we were like, we were here. We went to Telluride for Christmas. And then we spent a week in Denver and we were like, we love it here. Like, the altitude is amazing. I love polling mm-hmm. at altitude. I love polling alone. And they have like this great like studio that's like, you rent it. It's like mm-hmm. a pod. And so like, I go in and I like get my shit and I'm doing it at altitude. So I know like I'm getting good like conditioning. And mm-hmm. for her, like most of the UFC like champs are here. And she's like, yeah, I gotta like come here and I gotta fucking train. So we like drove from Houston to Denver. You know what I mean? So it's just uh-huh. like, oh, okay. So we are amazing in the car together. We're fucking rock stars. And then we had this one day where it was like something came on about divorce. Like, we were like listening to YouTube videos and mm-hmm. she was like, oh, there was this like Alux video, like 15 things to learn from divorce. And she like was like, oh, this is just divorcing. And I was like, what? And it was like automatically triggered. And just like, oh, could you, are you planning? Like, I just thought, I got crazy. I got insane. And like, what did I learn? Well, I learned that I can't like just project like someone's intention or someone's mm-hmm. like, you know, or that they know that that's a trigger for me, because divorce, it's not like a thing for me. But that night, for mm-hmm. you know, the hours on the road, the blah yeah. blah 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 blah, it's just like,
you.
It got me. And the next morning, it was just like, we had to talk about it, and I was embarrassed because mm-hmm. my little ego is like, you know, I'm emotionally mature and whatever, and I wasn't. And you know, like, and luckily for me, I have the good relationship with my ego where I could be like, yeah, that's not always the case. So you have to like let that go, like, you got to let it go. And so it was yeah. just like, I'm really sorry for that. And I promise that I'll do better next time when I'm tired and mm-hmm. driving. And I won't just assume that you're going to. And poor Jess, she like loves me so much. She was just like, why would you even think that?
Because sometimes people say things and then something clicks in your brain. You're like, they don't like me anymore.
Yeah,
it's all
exactly.
going to shit.
Exactly.
I'm going to be alone again. And I have to get back on apps.
That's your responsibility, man. You got to rein that little monster in. You got to be like, come here, girl. Let me talk to you for a minute. You need to chill the fuck out. Like, why the fuck are you acting like this? Are you hungry? Do you want to eat? Like, do you need a hug? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you got to rein it in. Come talk to me. What's going on with you?
The only thing I can really equate that to is I quit smoking in the beginning of this year. I quit January 3rd. And sometimes I'll be like, I'd really like a cigarette. And then I go, I really want one. And then I go, why? And then you just think about it and you're like, oh, because it's a habit that I had for a very long time. They didn't make me feel good. I coughed really hard and I always stunk like cigarettes. Do you want a bagel? And you're like, I'll go eat the bagel.
Yeah, I'll go have a bagel. Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta just like figure out why you're spiraling out. And it's not that hard if you just take a second and think.
Yeah. It's self-parenting. That's it. It's like you have to be your own like parent. And then to have like a good, strong relationship, like I thought, oh, I could self-parent really well, which means that I can parent whoever I'm with too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah, that's a no-no.
No, 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 ma'am. No, ma'am.
I watched this TED Talk. I cannot remember who the person is, but it was like, you will marry the wrong person.
And yeah,
like
that's Alain Toussaint. He has this, love him. He has
it's
a school
great.
Of life. He's like
it's
an amazing
so
philosopher.
Good.
Yeah, it's great.
I like lost my shit when he was like, the way we look for love is we're looking to be miserable because we're trying to mirror our relationships that we had with our parents.
Yeah, as a
and
child.
You're like, oh my God, yes.
Yes, exactly.
I'm always looking for approval from men because I was looking for approval with my dad. And then that was like a constant thing. So I think it's a thing I need to be chasing. And I already knew I had daddy issues, but I was like, oh, I am literally seeking it out.
Yeah.
And the minute like a man is like, unimpressed by me or wants to start ignoring me, I'm like, it's on, baby.
Yeah, you're the one for me. You're so emotionally unavailable in the way that turns me on.
Uh-huh. Oh. Tell me that, less.
There's that. Why would I want to be a part of a club that would let me in? You know, it's like, I want you. You don't want me. Make it hard for me, baby. Make me earn it.
It's so wild. So you went to Juilliard. I want to talk about that for a little bit.
Juilliard. I went to Juilliard
in New York City. Juilliard. I auditioned for Juilliard and I did a monologue from Twelfth Night and A Raisin in the Sun, I believe. And those went really well. And then they were like, now sing. And I cannot sing. And I started and I was like, burr, and they were all like, goodbye. Did you have fun at Juilliard?
I did. I typically tend to have fun wherever I am.
Yeah.
When I look back, though, like, I was a totally different person. So, like, I saw the problems of Juilliard, and I was like, oh, this is how I can bypass them. And so, like, for me, at that time, I was a Christian. I became a born-again, sewn-up vagina, born-again virgin, born-again Christian.
Oh.
And within
in
like
acting school?
In acting school. Yes, yes, yes. and I like spent the summer between third and fourth year. I went to Creflo Dollar's church, actually. That was the first church. And I would go to church at Madison Square Gardens Theater.
Wow.
And that, like,
I haven't heard Creflo Dollar's name in years. My mom was a Christian woman and she would listen to Creflo Dollar. So like I grew up listening to him and oh my God, what a fucking throwback.
Oh girl.
Madison
I went to Creflo
Garden.
Dollar's church. It's Madison Square Garden Theater. I would like wave the little blue tithing envelope when it was time to give that man our money. And I was like, oh, I can't wait. Oh, yes. And I would march on down there. Oh my God. I learned how to speak in tongues there. They take you up.
You learn how to speak in tongues?
Girl, yes. You learn.
I always thought it just happened. It happened in my grandmother's church. I remember being a kid. Some lady fell out. And I was like, if Jesus does that to you, I don't think I need him in my heart. And I don't really want to accept him. And she was like, I can't even remember the sound. It was like guttural.
It's just gibberish.
It was so wild.
It's gibberish. It's gibberish. It's like deeply, deeply gibberish. Yeah, they like, it's part of like, gibberish. It's deeply gibberish. It is. It's crazy. So like they take you in the back room and they're like, there's like this like, it looks like a control room at the Madison Square Garden Theater where they like, where they do it. Uh-huh. So they take you up into this control room and everyone is like deeply, deeply tragically serious because uh-huh. we're all like going through something. I was like deeply lonely and like scared and I don't know what they were going through. And I was like, I need to talk to Jesus in my own heavenly tongue. And they told me they'll teach me how to do it. And so they take you into this control room. It's like tight room. And then this guy just says, he's like, this is the baptism by fire. And it's like, all right. And he's like, I'm about to put the holy fire on you. And it's like, all right. And so he's like, I'm just going to start. And then you just gotta go for it, basically.
Okay.
And he like reads a scripture that like basically is like, this is your heavenly tongue. Like this is your mm-hmm. like, remember those cans with the string? Like this is your personal one to God. Like uh-huh. no one knows yes. what the fuck you're saying at all but him. And so he just starts and he'll be like, Robokosha, Robotuskina. And you just be like, and you just like start, you just launch into it, and everybody's is different. It's shot. It's like, it's really upsetting because it's so, it's so like, it's like jarring when people do. It's like, because it's different, you know? And that's, yeah. that's, yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is. It's funny to listen to someone, and you're not a born again anymore.
Oh no, hell no. So what happened to me was, I think I wore Jesus out, Nicole. So between third and fourth year, I had left Creflo's church because okay. He was like, we are exegesis, which means that you are, girl. I was deep. I was deep in it. I had concordances. I had
concordances.
Like, yeah,
what's
I had that?
That.
It's like basically a book where it's like I forget the word for it, but it's basically like whatever word you want to look up, it's got all where all the scriptures are that
oh,
got
shit.
That word.
Okay.
Then I had like notes from like scholars, Bible scholars, like this is
wow.
what this Aramaic meant and whatever. And so I was like deep in it, right?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
so I started going to this church that was like super about like scripture and stuff. And they had this program for full-time ministry. And so you could do the program for the summer. And so mm-hmm. I was going up to people. Do you know World Market, like Worldwide Market, Worldwide Plaza? It's between 9th, 8th and 9th and 51 and 52.
Yes.
Yes.
It's
that
by the Dream
Plaza,
Hotel. Yes.
Or the New World Theater, right?
Yes.
So I would go in there and I would walk up to people and I would be like, can I talk to you about the Lord?
Wow. While you're in drama school?
Yes.
They didn't give you enough homework there at
no,
Juilliard.
No, I was trying to save souls, girl. I was trying to save souls.
Wow.
And then after like 3 months of doing that and like praying and like mm-hmm. all this stuff, like there was so much talk to Jesus, Nicole. Like it was a lot. And by the time I started fourth year, I couldn't hear the voice of the Lord anymore. And it was like one of my biggest, like it was, I was depressed about it. And I was like, did I talk to you too much this summer or whatever? Like, can't I hear you anymore? And then I started thinking about the Bible and I thinking about like, why do I need other people to believe this? Like, why uh-huh. do I need other people to believe this for me?
That's
and
an
then
interesting
I'd,
thought.
Yeah.
Because it's like, well, I believe in the Lord. I talk to the Lord, whatever. But then it's like, why do I have to go get more people to believe what I believe?
Right.
Because it's like, I love chicken fingers. A specific kind. They're battered and deep fried. I don't like the breaded mm-hmm. ones, mm-hmm. but I'm not like evangelizing to people about like, you have to eat these specific chicken.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's
really interesting. And that's like one of the reasons why I kind of stopped going to church. Cause I was like, well, why am I paying this pastor's mortgage? Why does his, you know, his family live there for free and the grandkids and all this shit. And there was some sinning going on to get the grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
I got to give 10% of my money to this church. And then I got to tell other people to come to this church. And I'm like, sounds like a real interesting pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Where nobody's really making bank.
No, but Creflo Dollar and his jet, he was like asking us for money for the jet. And I was like, I don't think that's what Jesus wants. There's something about this that feels not very like Jesus. I got to get out of here.
Well, he's trying to get closer to God, trying to fly right directly to Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, that is wild to be like, I need this jet, parishioners, please. 10% so I can get my jet.
It was crazy. I was like, no, I don't think this is it. I don't think this is the one.
Mm-mm. That is wild. Real quick, we do have to take a break.
Okay.
Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Shift gears in your wardrobe without a complete and expensive overhaul. Dressy stuff, trendy going out clothes, casual tops, and premium jeans, sweaters, outerwear, vacation fits, you name it. For just $98 a month, you get a choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing, fast, free shipping and returns, and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility, plus the option to buy what you love. I like Nuuly a lot because sometimes I don't want to like own a sparkly thing because I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to wear it more than once. Also, I have a ton of sparkly things. And Nuuly is very good at like having a sparkly thing that I'll wear once and then I can send it right back. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DATEME20. Just go to Nuuly.com, Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code DATEME20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code DATEME20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Spring is the best time to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, tap into your power, and build towards whatever you're looking for. Okay, Peloton can accommodate your schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. Even if you only have 5 minutes, there's a class to get your body moving, and I have to stress how important that is. 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and mood. Move at your own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take the guesswork out of working out. So you can just jump right in, keeping your fitness journey fresh every day, because that's what it is, a journey. And listen, Peloton has everything you need to get to where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton is something for you. Ooh, the Peloton classes I like to do are strength training. I also like the yoga because I'm always trying to get more flexible because I love doing splits because I'm slutty. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. And we're back. Okay, so can I ask, did you start dating early, like in high school?
Oh my God, girl. No, I was a player pimp from elementary school. Like, I was rolling them. I thought I was straight. I was the gayest straight girl. Like, and that's why I'm excited to be on this podcast too, because you be asking for advice. Back in the day when I thought I was straight, you know what I would tell these straight girls? I'd be like, just grab his dick. Just grab his dick. That's all they talk about is how it has a mind of its own. If you want the sex, just grab the joystick. Uh-huh. Don't fuck with the asshole. Just grab the joystick.
Don't fuck with the asshole. Don't fuck with the asshole. Just grab that dick.
Gagged. And I was like, you is gay, girl. That is
It's very aggressive.
It's super like,
it's
yes.
Very aggressive. Yes. I'm sure the other girls were like, oh, I couldn't. And yeah, you're like,
they
who cares? Like, you just grab it. You're like, I don't even like it. You just grab
you
it.
Just grab it. And they do stuff. It's easy, girl. You can get a man. Just grab that dick. Terrible.
Oh, that's so funny. So when did you discover that women were the thing that were for you? What a wild way to ask that question. I think it's because it's like kind of boring people's coming out stories.
Yeah,
it's just like,
exactly.
When did I decide I liked men? When I was a little girl and I was like, boy, oh boy, it'd be nice to hug that one.
Yes, but here's the thing though about my straight phase, which is like crazy. So I could read really young, right? So my grandma's owned a hair salon since before I was born. So one of the only magazines that she would buy that was not black was Cosmo.
Oh.
So I was reading about all the stuff. And what I learned from Cosmo was that in order to be a good adult woman, you got to be good at sex.
Oh.
And that straight sex is jobs. Got blowjobs,
hand jobs.
You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of labor,
right? It's a lot of labor. It's free labor.
And you got to put on a show. You know what I'm saying? You got to give them the, you got to, you know, all of that shit. You got to do it all. Which is why actually the swinger scene on you, it like shooting that was fucking hysterical.
It's a really funny scene.
It was hysterical.
It's so funny. You are so funny in it.
Thank you. But I was doing all the shit I learned. You know, when you get it, you gotta give him that. Like, you have pierced me, sir. You gotta do it. He's like, oh, I pierced you. I am wounded. I might like it. You know what I mean? You gotta do it.
It is funny that some men do really love tricks. So, like, a trick I learned is, when a dick hits, like, I just lift the back of my tongue to, like, stop it from going all the way down and, like, actually gagging me. So, like, I lift my tongue a little bit, and then you go, ugh, and it feels like to them that they've hit the back. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it's so big,
yeah,
right?
It's so huge.
Because, a lot of it is out because it's not at the back of my throat. It's a trick. It's a full-blown trick that I learned that works every fucking time.
And that was my problem, though, Nicole. Like, I thought everybody knew it was tricks. I thought everybody knew. So my time with these men, you know, I make the joke now. Like, I have guys in my DMs, like, all the time. Like, oh, you know, you should give it a try, you know, whatever. It's like, why don't you give dick a try? If dick is so great, why are you giving it away in my DMs for free? Okay?
It is really funny to think about.
Yeah. It's like, why, sir? And it's like, listen, you try dick. I've tried women, okay? And that's why I'm gay. If dick is so great, why ain't you gay? You know what I mean? Like, why ain't you gay, sir?
It is funny to think about. It's like, yeah, just try dick. I could turn you. And it's like, I don't know, maybe you try dick and maybe you turn you and you like it.
Yeah, exactly. Because this is just about you, sir. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. So I would emotionally abuse these men and I didn't even know that I was doing it. Because what is the phenomenon, Nicole, that
the
happens
phenomenon?
To men? The phenomenon that happens when a woman does something to a man, even if she's unknowing, and that man experiences a kind of gender dysmorphia. What is that word called? You have just what?
I'm bad at quizzes. I'm so bad at pop quizzes. Oh, no.
You have.
Emasculate. Yes, emasculate. Yes. Boy, oh boy. Yes. Boy, oh boy. Pop quizzes are so hard.
And they're hard when you forget the answer, too. You fucking emasculate. And there's no feminine equivalent. There is no feminine equivalent to emasculation. So a lot of the shit that you have to do in straight relationships is avoiding the very fragile situation that a man can experience, you know, if you do shit like make more money than him or, you know, are funnier or smarter or whatever. You emasculate me and I have a problem with that. So I would do this thing where I would just like go behind the veil of like what's expected gender relationships. And I would just like do shit that was like, oh my God. So for instance, I'll tell you this. So, you know, I'm not a monster. I was like genuinely like concerned. So like at Juilliard, there was a guy that I went to, that I was in class with, who had testicular cancer. Mm-hmm. And this was at the same time that the Livestrong guy, what's his name?
Lance Armstrong.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Pop quiz. I'm in Denver, so, you know, weed. So he also got it. So I was like, oh my God. Like, and at the time I was still like, I thought I was still straight. And so I was like, these men, like, I didn't even know that that's something that could happen to their, you know, wow. So this is happening like terrible. And so he got the surgery. And I didn't know him. Like, even though we were in the same class, like, you don't ask those kinds of questions. Like, yeah, people should learn that you don't ask those kinds of questions. But I knew, like, you don't ask those questions. Well, I was with this guy, like, 4 years later. And let's just say the snake did not match the boulder. So I thought, based on the boulder situation, that there was only one. And so when the pants came down and I saw that, that was all I could think about. I was just like, oh my God, another one. Like, this is happening, like, so more, like, it's an epidemic that's going on with these men. And so because my problem with straight sex was, and this was like the thing that should have been like the indicator, but everywhere in society, when a woman says like, I'm having problems with like straight sex, they're always like, oh, that's normal. Like, anything you say happens, it's like, it's normal. It's normal. So I didn't think that, I just thought I was like a normal straight lady that didn't want to sleep with the guys. But like once you're in the relationship, there comes a point where it's like, 6 months, that's enough. That's enough sex for you. So, but the thing that would happen would be when we got into sex penetration, I would go numb. Like, I didn't feel anything. And so I'd had a couple of times where I'm like putting on the theatrics, and something in the corner of the room would catch my eye, and I would, and I learned this later, I would disassociate. So I would just like start thinking about, and just like go totally quiet, and just like, and I just thought like, oh, like that's kind of normal. Like, I just wasn't like in it anymore. Like, I don't feel it anyway. So I'm like, bah, whatever. So we're in the heat of the moment, me and this guy with the big snake and tiny boulder. And I'm just like, I really like, I didn't get a chance to like ask about like what this is like. So I think this is like my time, because we're I was 21. I was like, technically we're on the topic. So I'm like on my back, and I like, I'm like making the noises and everything. And I just like, I was like, I got to wind down into this and just like kind of like find the right time. And so I grabbed his, what I thought was one testicle, and I looked at him, and I was like, and I was like, you have to be really compassionate. And I was just like, what happened? He like, the way his face, like the micro, like, I was like, this isn't it.
Yeah,
this isn't it. This isn't it. Oof. And he was just like, with what? And I was like, nothing. And then he finished, whatever, because men. And at the end, he was just like, never grab a guy's balls during sex and ask what happened. And I was like, duly noted, dude. Like, I already knew that after you.
After you rack it so poorly and me caring about your ball situation.
Yeah, exactly. And so it would be like, I would be with these guys and I would just like do this kind of shit. That's like, she's an asshole, or she's like, she doesn't care. And some guys are into that. Like, some guys are into women that aren't really that into them. So after years of that, I broke up with this guy that I was with for like 3 years. And that was the longest like adult, really, because I met him after Juilliard. 21. I was 21 and he was 42, Oof. 41 or 42.
Ooh, that is a gap.
I I needed someone to take care of me in New York. You know, he, the honest thing was I was living in the dorms for like 3 years and then I moved out. And then like my last year, I like moved into this like 5-bedroom, 1-bathroom apartment in New York. And he had air conditioning. And I was just like, I think this works. I think this works. I think this works. And I was depressed for, that was like my second depression. And that was like, it was like, I'm not living authentically, right? Like I, there was like a lot of things. Like I had just graduated. I had had a couple of jobs, but then I didn't work for 9 months and I didn't know and blah, blah, blah. And I just like, depressed. So after that relationship ended, we had talked about like bringing other people into the bedroom, like a lot of people do. And, you know, looked up all this stuff. And I was just like, there was a woman at this bar that we used to go to that seemed like really down. And I had a dream about her that night. And in that dream, there was this knowing that if I slept with a woman, I'll never sleep with a man again. And I was like, we need to go to couples therapy the next morning. I was like, we cannot have another person in our bedroom. We got to go to therapy. So after the relationship ended, I was just like, let me just be open. So this was during my like Broadway like time. And I like went to a friend's bar. And you say friend's bar. He didn't own the bar. He was a bartender at the bar. You know how you say it. I went to my friend's bar. No, that's what I thought.
Definitely a bartender at the bar.
Right. So there was a woman there and she was like interested. And, you know, I've always been like kind of sexually like open, free, like, you know, like I'm looking for an experience. You know what I mean? Like I'm like, can I feel, you know, whatever. So I'm like, all right, cool.
Can I feel? That's all I'm trying to do.
I'm just trying to feel. A little bit. That's how I felt like the Tin Man, you know, like trying to get a heart, you know, like that was my straight phase, you know? And yeah, I went to the bathroom with this girl and we hooked up. And I've read so much Cosmo about like straight sex. I ain't read nothing about no lesbian sex. And girl, let me just tell you, I was a natural. And I was just like, oh my God, like, this is like, I didn't study for this. And I like kind of aced it. And it felt amazing. Like I felt stuff. And so, yeah, I took her out the like next weekend or whatever. And yeah, like a proper date. Cause I was like, I've never been with a woman. So like, I have to see like, was this a fluke? Was this? And yeah, like that night we hooked up and I was just like, nope, totally not a fluke. Okay. So that's kind of how I found out, you know, you got to like walk it, just take it out for a walk.
It is so funny to me that you're like, Cosmo didn't say anything about lesbian sex. And it's like, it should.
It should.
It absolutely should. And it's so funny to me that like you have to just discover it. You have to like go out and figure it out kind of for yourself. Now there's like more television and stuff that depicts, you know. Like, I was watching Yellow Jackets, and I was like, oh, I love that two of the girls on the team are into each other or whatever. I don't think that's giving too much away. Yellow Jackets is really good if you haven't seen it. I really like it. But, like, I was like, I like that. And I feel like there just needs to be more representation of, I don't know, lesbians in places.
Yeah.
Or just, like, non-traditional relationships. Like, I, like, learned about polyamory, and, like, I always thought it was just, like, a couple, and then you have, like, another boyfriend, you got another boyfriend, you got another girlfriend. But then there's polyamory where it's, like, oh, I don't have a primary. I just have many different people, and I love my alone time. And I was, like, oh, that's an interesting thing for someone to explore, where you just have, like, 8 boyfriends, and you're, like, I just figure it out.
Side note. So I've always been interested in like alternative, you know, relationships, whatever. But most of my relationships pre-25 were very like monogamous, like, but I was like curious, right? So I would like watch stuff, read stuff. Well, that's kind of how I got into pole dance. So the actual like A to B. So I met this producer and they had put on her resume, like that she did this reality show on polyamory. And
on Showtime?
On Showtime, you know it!
It is a wild show I would watch it and be like, I mean,
yes,
I've never wanted to see people like this fuck, but here we are.
Yes. Leanne in season 2. I'm so glad you fucking saw it, because now we can fucking talk about it. Leanne, I was laying on my couch in LA, and I still didn't have like a workout thing figured out for myself, right? So I had like, I used to like lift weights and stuff, and then I wasn't interested. So I was like watching the show, and I was like, she had a good body. Like, she did have a, she owns a Paul studio. And so even though that situation was so like so indicative of straight patriarchy, like whatever, even in these liberated spaces, like it's very patriarchal. And so I was like, aside from that, let me check out this pole studio. So she owns B Spun, which is the like number one.
I didn't know that.
It's the number, yes, she owns that studio. So I looked at the website and I was like, these girls are really good. And I was like, but I want to get good. And I know that I won't learn as well if I don't have the basics, because these girls are like, so you kind of need the basics to like get there, right?
Yeah.
And so that's how I started pole dancing. I found Luscious Maven, and Luscious Maven was like 12 minutes away from where I lived at the time. So I was like, oh, that's perfect. And so I started poling there. And then after a few months, I like started poling at B-Spun. But then I would pole like at Body and Pole in New York. I poled in Portland. I poled in Spain. I poled in Thailand. Like I poled in Mexico. Like I just like going and like learning from different teachers and shit, you know? But yeah, that's how it started, that polyamory show.
That's so funny that it started with that polyamory show, because it truly is a wild show where you're just like, this has to be. Showtime had some interesting reality television. They had polyamory and then this other thing that I watched called Gigolos that followed male escorts, and it's fully unhinged and very overtly racist.
Oh my God!
At one point, one of the white guys, they're waiting on one of the black escorts to come. I can't remember his name, but he's like, he's probably gonna be late because he's black. And the other one goes, half black. And he's like, well, half of him's gonna be late. And I was like, and I was like, you can't say that.
It's just,
and then there's an episode, there's also like fat shaming in it. It's like triggering. So like if you get triggered, I wouldn't watch it.
Yeah,
but
I
like,
need to watch it.
There's a part where he was like, I don't know, I got a client, she's huge. And they're like, how big? He's like, you know, big. And then they like literally jump cut to him fucking her. They're just like pounding this woman. And I and it doesn't give you a chance to be like, oh, I wonder how big she is, because they're showing you. And then I was watching and I was like, she's not that big.
No.
I was like, she's about the same size as me. I was like, is that how people talk about me? And then I was like, Nicole, these thoughts have to leave your head. You cannot do that to yourself. This is a weird reality show where a lot of things are staged. And who fucking cares if a Las Vegas gigolo thinks you are fat?
Exactly. Fuck, exactly. Get
but
the fuck
boy,
out
oh
of
boy,
here. Yeah.
Can your brain do some magical things when you
see? Yeah.
You're just like, oh, now I've been transported to a space where I don't feel good about myself.
Exactly.
That's
gross.
Why I love pole. Whenever people like to post like negative things, they'll be like, oh my God, strong pole. And I mean, it's not negative, but it's just like, that's a first draft. But I always respond, I'm like, okay. Sure, strong pole. But don't you think it's more interesting that someone this big can climb up that pole?
Exactly.
Like, the pole just has to stand there. I'm, like, really working.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hello. I'm amazing.
And I'm stronger than you, probably.
Exactly. Not probably. Definitely. Actually, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Is polling, like, Do you like yoga and stuff to like go with it? I do a little bit of like yoga and stretching to like.
Yeah. So I like, I've, so because I'm with an athlete, Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think now about like how I do it. And I'm also like 33. So like just jumping on a pole isn't really like a good idea anymore. But like now I do about 2 hour sessions. Mm-hmm. And most of that time is the warm up. Most of that time. Yeah. And I do mirror meditation shit. So how I got into pole, like aside from the polyamory show, what I got out of pole was like, even though I've been super like easy, like who cares? Like that's straight shit. I've always been easy. Mm-hmm. I've never felt comfortable in public. Like I've always been like, you know, like, you know, you would never think, you know what I mean? And so, but for me, it's about safety. So when I was 18 in New York, I remember walking and the street harassment was really scarring for me. I told this one guy, like, and I'm crazy, Nicole, like, I don't know. So like I was wearing some jeans and this fucking delivery guy was like had said something like, you know, nice ass or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, don't talk to me like that. And he was like, fuck you, bitch. And I was like, oh, I'm not saying
that's so wild to me that that's the response that you get. Like when you're like, please don't say that. And they're like, fuck you. And yes! You're like, well, you started it. You spoke to me first. And I said, no, thank you.
Exactly. Ugh. So like, and then also it was like, I know what you look like with your pants off. And it's terrible. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that great. Like, you're just terrible. So like, I always would... I would dress up like I feel most comfortable like now with the masks. Like that's like kind of my last, like I'm like, wow, awesome. So no one gets to see anything in the world. but like I love sensuality. I love my body. Like I said, like I want to feel like I'm alive. Like I'm a human being. Like I want to feel. And so, but I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel comfortable being in public. And so how can I explore a lot of this like eroticism and like creativity with my body when I have all these like blocks? So for me, pole is like a safe place to do, it's like a safe place to do something private in public. Because all of these women are also like in the same, we're all in the same state of undress or whatever. Yeah. And we're all like doing the same shit, but we're all our own person. And that's what I love about pole is that like your expression of a move looks different because it's your body. And for some people who are like box people who are like, I need to like fucking look like everybody and like do everything like everyone, that's scary. But if you're like out of the box kind of bitch, you're like, fuck yeah, this is my light. And that's her light. And she looks dope. And I look dope.
Yeah. And that's why I love pole. Because like when a girl will or a person will perform, you're just like, yay. Like, and let's just even like everyone is so like happy when you get a move or like when you do a little piece at the end of like a workshop. People are like, yay. And you're like, it's just all positive and it's nice. And nobody's making fun of you or thinking things other than like you did it and you did good.
And you did good. And we know it's hard and you fucking did it. Mm-hmm. And so like for me, that was great. But then the next layer was, oh, Shalita, you've got work to do, like with how you see yourself. So like I read Bell Hooks, like it's Rock My Soul, Black People in Self-Esteem. And in it, she talks about like eradicating like the white supremacy in you. And then taking that idea further, it's like, if basically like you're in agreement with any like negative, stereotypical, whatever, if it pierces you. That means there is an agreement in your body about that. And so it's your job to unravel that. Why do I believe that about myself? And so what I did with pole was I started looking up. I was like, there has to be like something you can do with the mirror. And so I like Googled like mirror meditation and that's a thing that exists. So there are like all these practices that you can do. And one of them was the one that I started with was, you know, looking at yourself in the mirror, whatever mistakes or whatever. I love that. Thank mm-hmm. you. Like gratitude toward you and your body. And, you know, honestly, Nicole, like when I started pole, like I had just left a show and I was like fucking fucked up, like just trying to like heal and like put myself back together. Mm-hmm. And that was like part of how I did it, was like learning how to be in full acceptance of me, even if I'm not doing it right. And then mm-hmm. that became empowering too, because when I got to B-Spun, like if there was a move in the choreo that I didn't like how I did it or how it looked on my body, or it's like, oh, her hips are different than my hips, and so mm-hmm. that move is different, I would modify it and I wouldn't ask for permission. And mm-hmm. being in class, like the thing that I love about pole is like you can break some of those like shitty like box mentality, like with being in class, right? Mm-hmm. Because like in school, you're supposed to be like everybody else. But in pole, it's like, no, like I don't hurt anybody by being in my own body. Uh-huh. Like it doesn't hurt anyone. So we're not doing a show. This is a class. So I can just learn the way that I need to learn. And I would modify my shit and I'd be dope.
I really like that, because I felt like a lot in school where I talked a lot. I had ADHD. Like, teachers would send me out of class because they're like, you're just a lot right now. Go walk in the hallway. And then I would feel othered. But like in pole, specifically with my teacher, Veronica, I love that she'll give me modifications so I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I can't. It's like, you can. You just do it a different way.
Yeah.
And you're still a part of the class, even though you learn how to do something a different way.
Exactly.
Yeah. Real quick, we have to take another break. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, there's always something that I really need to talk about, and thank God I have a podcast, but then there's stuff that I don't want to reveal publicly. So I talk to a therapist, and listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get stuff off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional cost. And I gotta say, that's very important, because the first person you meet might not be good for you. So even though it's work, you gotta work to find someone who like is helpful and is good for you. So don't stick with someone just because you feel like you have to. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/date me today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/date me. Okay. Hey, did you know 1 in 5 Americans have learn a new language on their bucket list? If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste time on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned out in the real world. Babbel made it super easy for me to brush up on my Spanish before my vacation to Mexico. See how I said that? It's better, and it sounds like I speak Spanish. It just makes traveling better, so you can like order food, ask for directions, and flirt with the locals. Me encanta, muchacho. Without having to consult language apps while on vacation. Here's a special limited time deal for my listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for my listeners at babbel.com/date me. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/date me, spelled BABBEL.com/date me. Rules and restrictions may apply.
For me, like, when I started taking responsibility for the ways in which I was dumping on myself, like I started to see how I had like courage to like stand in my ground in all these other areas, and like fixing my fucking hair, like these fucking curls are all because of a fucking product that I created.
Ooh, I want to talk about that.
Yes, yes. So let's talk about that. So
it's Four Naturals.
Four Naturals. And I created it because I was trying to solve a fucking problem. And that problem was I have type 4 hair. And, you know, like I said, my grandma's owned a hair salon since before I was born. So I knew what licensed cosmetologists, black licensed cosmetologists knew about black hair. And it was like nothing. We know styles and we can do stuff, but there's nothing about like our actual hair. So after I left that show and I went through like 3 months of like trauma counseling and just like brain spotting and like fucking figuring that out, I was like, oh, well, now that I've like healed emotionally, like, and I feel strong enough to get on a set again, I need to heal my fucking hair.
Can I ask, were they straightening your hair? What were they doing to your hair?
Oh my God. There were so many things. There were so many things. So if you watched the show, you knew that Percy's ponytail was different. Like, all like sometimes like within the episode, like the ponytail would be a different ponytail. And so it started like season one, I had this wig and I like had straightened my hair. And season one, I was a guest star. So I did like a little recur and that was like my, basically like my audition to like be a series regular. So I passed. And that summer I was like, look, I've never been a series regular before. And it's a lot of work on my hair. And so we're in New Orleans. So I need like a curly hair texture because I can't like go straight. And the producer who was in charge was like, no, like we don't want a curl pattern that tight. Like, so I had to they auditioned hair for like what I would be able to wear.
What?
So yeah. So initially that first ponytail was a sew-in in season two, beginning of season two. It was a sew-in and I like pushed about the ponytail and it's like, it's professional. Like it's professional being in a ponytail. So, and then it you can't have your hair down because it would be vanity, which is just like, it just didn't make any sense. It was just like white nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, like it was my first show and I was a team player. And so I tried to like play along and like do it. And so I had these extensions and then I did an episode in season two where it was a water episode. And so there was all this like work in the pool and, you know, swamp water, whatever. And when I took the tracks down that weekend, I had a bald spot in the center of my head.
No.
And so then that next year, season three, like in the hiatus, I was like, look, I need to just be in a wig. Like I can't do the extensions, like whatever, like just do a wig and you can use the perimeter of my hair and like brush it into the wig, whatever. Well, the reality of my type 4 hair is that it's really fucking fragile. And so I, you know, in January of 2017, I had, I took the wig down to assess like my hair. And I was like, whoa, like my hair looks really fucking shitty. Like the perimeter is like short and the inside is like long. And so this is what January looked like. That was January.
Oh no.
But then June, 6 months later, this was my fucking hair.
Oh no. Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So it had completely just.
Yeah.
So just I was receded. Threatening. Exactly. I was threatening baldness in the front. And so season four was the helmet head wig. And so everybody, and it was like they had everything to say about it. And I was just like, you have no idea what I'm dealing with. Like, I'm saving myself.
It is really incredible how, I want to say all white people, but there's a lot of white producers out there who refuse to learn anything about our hair, what our hair needs, hiring people who know how to do our hair. And then if you're working 5 days a week, even if you get your hair done for one scene, you're still in a chair getting your hair done for an hour. And that's a lot of work on your head every fucking day. I wear a wig because I'm like, I mean, my hair, I'm trying to get it to grow and be healthy and whatnot, because I just threw a wig on and didn't care about it. But I was like, no, I should care about my hair. I love my hair. It looks really pretty when I take care of it. And the curls, they look pretty when I do it. So, yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with people where they're like, no, or we're not going to pay for a wig. So I bring my own. And it's like, what?
Exactly. What? But I think the point that you were making too was that, like, they don't know anything about our hair, but they dictate what our hair is supposed to do. And that's the problem.
And the thing that really fucking got me is when a producer said to you that your hair down wasn't natural, or not natural, wasn't professional.
Wasn't professional.
That is crazy to me that, like, white women can wear their hair down and it's professional. White women can wear their hair in a bun and it's professional. White women can wear their hair in braids and it's, ooh, kind of, you went on vacation. That's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You wear it for a couple weeks like that. That's fun. But the minute I come in with braids and like beads at the end, it's like, what are you doing?
Exactly. You're urban. Now it's too specific. Now it's, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's just racism. It's just systemic racism. That's it. So for me, I was like, how can I, like, in the bell hooks way of looking at things, she talks about a lot about like healing in that book, Rock My Soul. And it's like, for you, like, this is what she says. It's basically about, it's a focus issue. Like, white supremacy is not a problem of Black people. We just experience the effects of it. That's a white problem. Like, that's white people's responsibility to heal within their community, because the people who are doing it looks just like your great white person. So that's their work. Our work is to heal from the effects of that and make sure that we're like eradicating that. So for me, I was like, all right, if that's the case, and that's something that I want to a way that I want to like approach this problem, then I have to think about like all the ways in which I agreed and why I agreed. And it's like, oh, your hair is hard to manage. So it's like, okay, I agreed with that. Why did I agree with that? And it's like, the truth is my hair is inconsistent with products. I can't get my curl defined without twisting it for hours. And then if water gets on it, it comes out of the twist and it stands straight up. And so, you know, and then the dryness issue, the growth plateaus that I experience, the fact that I can't put heat on my hair without completely like damaging it, like it'll never go back, you know? So like, I grew my hair out for 7 years and I straightened it once for an audition and I had to cut it all off it was just like, So I was like, well, I'm a human woman, and part of the like white supremacy of it all is the belief that we need like chemicals to like fix our hair. And so I did some research and I studied like non-white successful hair cultures. And success, I was defining it by, you know, they have the moisture, they have a good relationship with water, like their hair responds to water, shine, you know, no issues with growth plateaus, and also like care shit and detangling, because I noticed that I would lose like clumps of hair when I was detangling my hair. So it was like, I need to hack this. And so I looked up India, Eritrea, and Ethiopia. And then I got interested in cosmetic chemistry, which is like the study of hair. And I created what we are now calling the Four Naturals treatment. And so it's two products, four steps, but the two products are, it's a henna mud mask. Henna is the answer. But you got to do henna with some humectants, because
humectants
are ingredients that introduce moisture to the hair, right?
Okay.
So like aloe vera would be considered a humectant, right? And so a lot of the issues that, you know, people with type 4 hair have are porosity. So porosity is the health of the cuticle layer. And so I had high porosity hair, meaning my cuticle, what was happening on the cuticle layer was I had these giant gaps in my cuticle and the scales would stand up. So water, I didn't have an issue with my hair getting wet, but it never stayed moisturized. Like as soon as it got wet, it would, and then it was super fragile. So I was, you know, prone to heat damage. I was prone to, like if I, just like any kind of, rough combing or whatever, like my hair would like snap. So while I didn't have like rough hair, it was actually too soft. Because the cortex, which is that next layer, it's spongy, that's all exposed. So my hair wasn't in the best health. What henna does is it coats the layer of the cuticle, and it's a plant. Plants have great relationships with water. So the moisture issue, it also solves that moisture issue. And the other thing it does with the curls, like I didn't have, my natural curl didn't do this. What do I have on my hair? I have on some leave-in conditioner, a little castor oil, and some Eco Styler, and I brushed it. There's little, I just did it this morning. And this is my, these are my curls now. That's because the henna is wrapped around my strand and it gives you the best version of whatever your curl is. So type one to type four, like Indian, the Indian community, they have straight hair, but their hair is very, like, it's very thick, it's shiny, and that's a use of henna. Like that's a regimen of henna. Like the Indian community, they have a hair care regimen since the kids are little where they henna the hair on the weekend. And so for us, that wrapping of the cuticle also makes the hair heavier. So the curl, it people say like, oh, it loosens your curl. It doesn't. It actually just defines it. And that definition for us, we get the shrinkage and our strands, like they want to stay away from each other. That henna acts like a magnet and it attracts all, one curl is several strands, right? So with before pre-henna, your hair isn't attracting the other strands. So you get the fro happening, right? And because the strand has a pattern, a zigzag or a spiral, when they're separated, the strands are separated, they're like standing next to each other and you think that that's detangled. For curls, detangled hair is strands that are clumping. That's the curl, right? So what the henna does is it coats the strand, it nice little protective layer, but because all of your strands are coated with the same, it has a high cat, I'm trying not to use too much like scientific, but it has a high cationic charge, and cationic means positive. So these like our strands are like, oh, okay, hey girl. And so you have these curl strands that clump together and you get your curls, and that's fucking plants.
How long did this take you to do all this?
So the research was like a few months. It was just like, oh, let me just like, oh, let me read this article. Let me do this. And I went through all manner of different, like I've used bentonite clays, like, and you know, actually trying it. And the issue with bentonite clay is that while it's on your hair, the clay has a high cationic charge, which is why you're not supposed to use like metal or whatever when you're mixing it. It would make my curls clump when it was on my hair, but once it was off, the curl, like I didn't have a curl anymore. But that's the difference with the Four Naturals treatment, because the henna permanently sticks to the strand.
I'm truly sold, because I can sometimes get a curl to happen, but it's like only some of it will be really curly and other will be like, well, I'll just show you. My hair... This is great for our listeners. They're just like, oh, cool.
Oh, so
they're
showing, anything.
Showing each other their hair.
Yes.
So like, it is like fro-y and it does get like a little curly, but it's just like, will my curls be defined?
Oh my God. Oh my God. If you give us your address, I'll send it to you. We actually go on sale 214. Pre-sale. It's a pre-sale. So it's a 2-hour, you know, the people who have been sticking with me, the email list. So they're going to get the link and, you know, get the deal. And yeah, in the next few months, I've been working with contract manufacturers, to get consistent, like a production of the, both of the products. That happens, April 20th. So I'm selling off the product that I do have, the units that I do have, mm-hmm. both the henna, the conditioner. And this morning I sat with the conditioner. The conditioner has cassia obovata in it. Cassia acts like henna. It's known as the neutral henna. It's not permanent. But what cassia does is it attaches to the strand for a little time. It's not like henna. It doesn't stay on permanently. But it's a plant. And it makes your hair shiny. It makes your hair soft. It makes Jessica's hair, like if you see her now, like she's MMA. So she's used to her hair like on the mat. Like it can get really fragile. And she loses a lot of hair in the shower too. She uses the conditioner. She uses the conditioner every day. And her hair is so long. It's so thick. It's so strong. And you, for you, it was the end of a karmic cycle for me. I was on NCIS wearing nothing but wigs and weaves and, you know, whatever to try to like help my hair and protect my hair. And I couldn't have any heat on my hair. For you, there were whole scenes where I had no clip-ins in my hair. And that was after, you know, the year before I did 2 Brazilian blowout treatments on my hair. I mean, I just like now my hair is fucking like I'm not afraid of anything. So I just cut off 13 inches of hair. Okay. In October, I've been chronicling it on Four Naturals, fournaturalshair.com and Four Naturals Hair on Instagram and Facebook. But I do these lives every Wednesday and, you know, talk about my hair, talk about other people's hair. I had a Four Naturals Hair Spa in LA. And there are people on the website where you can see the three treatments in 1 month. It's like a completely different head of hair because it's cumulative. Every time you use the henna, it accumulates on top of the last treatment. So the hair appears thicker. It's stronger. Like literally your hair is strong.
I want this. It's amazing. Thicker, better, or not better. I want to improve my hair so it's stronger. I'm now on your website.
Go to the treatment. And that's the other thing. So the website now, like that's why we're in pre-sale too, because I made so many more videos now. We have like styling your curls, drawing your curls. Like I'm giving you all the information you need to like live with your hennaed hair and like love it. And your life is so fucking easy.
And this is your natural hair in all these pictures?
Yes. Oh, and then if you go to treatments, you'll see like it's not just me. Go to treatments and you'll see like one of the girls, Lauren, like if you look at the dates of the treatment. Go to the next one. Keisha, she had like heat damage. But if you go to look at her, it was in the same month. It's the same month. So it accumulates and it gives the appearance of thicker. And each time they did it, the curl is stronger. The curl is like more defined. So, yeah.
I love it. I could look at this all day. But we do have to end. We have come to the end. Yes. I do have to wrap it up. Yes. But Shalita, thank you so much for doing this. Honestly, you're a joy to talk to. They tell you to not meet your heroes, but I did it and I enjoyed it. I really loved you from afar. And when they said that you would do the show, I was elated in a way that I truly can't articulate. I think you're so talented and so wonderful. And then to find out that you're like level-headed and normal and funny is a it's a real treat.
Thank you
so much for doing it. Okay, if you like this episode of Why Won't You Date Me, you can like it, you can rate it, you can review, you can subscribe on Apple, I don't know, podcast. I should know what that's called. But if you write me a nasty message hitting on me, I will read it. And this is funny that this one is right here. Okay. This nice person said, I'd like for you to do a pole dance split and land your juicy pussy right on my face. I'd make you come so hard you'd forget all about sex toys, your face, even the Theragun. And then I'd dom you better than all those straight men you fuck ever dreamed of. You'd be begging for me to smack your big fat ass harder and harder while I tie you up and give you all the sexual pleasure your body desires.
These men are sluts, yo.
This
These
is a lady. This is a lady who wrote this.
Ma'am, you have shocked me. You have shocked me. That was some hardcore. Wow. You got me, girl. You got me. Yeah, wow. Wow. Well, you're just throwing it out there.
On that note. Bye-bye. That's it for Why Won't You Date Me with me, Nicole Byer. Why Won't You Date Me is produced and engineered by, oh, the sweetest woman I know, Marissa Melnick. It is executive produced by other wonderful people, Adam Sachs, Joanna Solotaroff, and Jeff Ross. Thanks for listening. I love you. Thank you so much. We'll be seeing you next Friday with a brand new episode. What a treat. What a dream.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.